I'm going to have a go at answering this question. What was Jesus doing at each part of the Easter story? We're going to be looking at four important parts of the Easter story, represented by four activity stations. And you probably have already noticed there's a few extra things around the church this morning that aren't normally here on a Sunday. There's a whiteboard over there. There's an empty baptistry pool here. There's some hammer and nails on a block of wood over there. And this great big seat over here. All of these are activity stations that are going to help us answer this question, what was Jesus doing at each part of the Easter story? But of course, we also need some words, not just activity stations, to answer that question. And the words that I've chosen to explain what Jesus was doing at each part of the Easter story are mostly from the Gospel of John, but I've also chosen some words from the Gospel of Luke to fill in a part of the Easter story that isn't told by the Gospel of John, because all of those Gospels tell the story from a slightly different perspective. Now, on the front wall of the church, and it's a little bit obscured because we put some of these big branches up, but I'm hoping you know this Bible verse well enough to be able to say it off by heart if you can't read it. But it is in a slightly different version to what you probably learnt it in, so that makes it a bit more challenging, doesn't it? But I'd like us all to read this verse together, because this answers the question that I'm asking as an overall kind of an answer. So it's good for us to start with this. So in answer to that question, what was Jesus doing in the whole of the Easter story? He was doing this. Let's read it together. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And you might have had to put your head on the side a bit as you got to those bits, the words that were tilted up, but you did well. Well done. That's the overall answer to this question. What was Jesus doing? What was God doing in the Easter story? But we're going to look at each of these four main parts this morning. So starting with, what was Jesus doing during his growing up? I think I've just lost where I'm up to. So we've read, for God so loved the world. What was Jesus doing in his growing up? What was Jesus doing in the growing up part of the Easter story as he grew up from a little newborn baby, born of the Holy Spirit, born miraculously to the Virgin Mary? But as he grew up from that little baby that we celebrated at Christmas into a fully grown human, an adult. So here's some words from John chapter 1 that tells us this first part of the Easter story. And I'd like us again to read it all together. And kids, you can join in with this too if you'd like to. So let's read this together. In the beginning, the Word was already there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became a human being. He made his home with us. What does it mean when it says the Word became a human being and he made his home with us? Who is the Word? Jesus, yeah. Good question, isn't it? Good answer to that question. Jesus, that's usually the answer to just about all the questions we ask, isn't it? But that's the answer to that question. The Word that it's talking about there is Jesus, who became flesh, who became a human being. Now here's where we need some words from the Gospel of Luke. Because the Gospel of John misses out this next part of the Easter story, this Jesus' growing up part. So in Luke chapter 2, it says how when Jesus was 12 years old, so he'd grown up from a little baby to being a 12-year-old, almost a teenager, he went with his mum and dad, Joseph and Mary, to Jerusalem for the Passover meal, which they would have done every year to celebrate this important festival. But after it was all over, and they were on their way back home with the crowds of people who had come to Jerusalem and then were heading back home, Joseph and Mary suddenly realized that Jesus wasn't with them anymore. Jesus had been with them, of course, on the way there, but now as they were returning home amongst the big crowd of people, they'd lost track of where he was. And after searching all over for him, they eventually found him back in Jerusalem, that they'd had to return to, there in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them lots of questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers that he gave. And after this little episode of Jesus' growing up part of Jesus' life, Luke's gospel says these important words that help us answer the question, what was Jesus doing during this growing up part of the Easter story? So let's read these words from Luke's gospel together. And the child grew and became strong. He was very wise. He was blessed by God's grace. Jesus became wiser and stronger. He also became more and more pleasing to God and to people. So what was Jesus doing in this growing up part of the Easter story? Well, there's the answer. He was learning how to be obedient to the Father. And in the process of learning how to be obedient to the Father, he was teaching us how to be obedient to the Father as well. He was teaching us how to please God by obeying him, because that's how we please God. We do that by obeying God. In fact, Jesus was making all of life, from little baby toddler to teenager to fully grown adult, he was making all of it pleasing to God as he learned to obey his heavenly Father while growing up into adulthood. So this is where I'm going to need some help from a few of you kids, maybe one or two of you. Because one of the things that Jesus would have learned during his growing up years, a bit like you kids, was he would have learned how to read and write. Now we know that because in Luke chapter 4 it says that Jesus, now as an adult, went to the synagogue and there he read from the scroll of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. So he was able to read that scroll because he'd learned how to read it. It would have been written in Hebrew because that was the language of the day, the language that they spoke in Israel back then. And that's what he learned and was able to read. So hands up, how many of you kids can write your name? Pretty much all of you? All of you can write your name? How many of you reckon you could write Jesus' name? A bit less than before, but still quite a few of you, eh? Now, back in Jesus' day, not only did they speak and learn Hebrew, but the local language that many of them spoke was Aramaic, so that was a different language, to Hebrew. But they also would have learned how to write and read Greek, because the Roman Empire that they lived under, that was the common language that everybody spoke. So Jesus would almost certainly have learned not only Hebrew, which we definitely know he learned because he could read it, he would have learned Aramaic, and he would have learned Greek, to read and write Greek. Who reckons they could write Jesus' name in Greek? Anyone? Who would like to have a go at writing Jesus' name in Greek? Yep. Come on, Astrid. Do you want to have a go? I will help you because I've got it written down here in Greek. But I like you in really big letters, as big as you can, so that everybody can see. Over here, to copy that, big writing, big letters, up on the screen. So. All right. You want to take that to copy it? We'll... Nice and big, so we can all see it. Well, yeah, that's good. You've got the little... Can you go even bigger if you can? Yeah, that's pretty good. I hope you can all see it. I was hoping for a little bit bigger than that, but that's all right. That's pretty good. Do you know how to say it? Because it's actually pronounced a bit differently. It doesn't in Greek. It doesn't say Jesus. It says something like Yesu, Yesu. And those little squiggles that you put, that's to help with the pronounce it properly. Yesu. So that's Jesus' name in Greek. Thank you, Astrid. I reckon you deserve a chocolate for that. If you'd like, there's still a few left. So. Thanks for helping us out with that part. That was really helpful. All right, so that's this growing up part of Jesus' life. He was learning, just like we all learn. He was doing the things that ordinary kids do, growing up, learning how to read and write. And in the process of doing that, he was learning how to obey his Heavenly Father. And he was teaching us how to obey our Heavenly Father too, as we see what Jesus was doing, as Jesus was doing this perfectly on our behalf. But that's the first part of the Easter story, Jesus' growing up part. There's another part to Jesus' growing up, and this is where we get to his baptism. What was Jesus doing at the baptism part of his life, of the Easter story? Because it's all part of the Easter story, isn't it? What was Jesus doing at his baptism? Let's find out the answer to that question by reading what the Gospels of Luke and John say about Jesus' baptism. Let's read these words from Luke's Gospel together, and I hope you can read it. I'm sorry this is going to be a little bit more challenging to read, but let's have a go at reading it together. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. The Holy Spirit came to rest on him in the form of a dove. A voice came from heaven. It said, "You are my son, and I love you. I am very pleased with you." So what was Jesus doing at the baptism part of the Easter story? He was making it possible for us to become sons and daughters of God by hearing his Heavenly Father say these words of affirmation that we just read out. That would have been impossible for anyone to hear if Jesus hadn't first heard them for us at his baptism. I wonder if you have heard, I wonder if you can hear God the Father saying these words of affirmation to each of you. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I love you. And I'm very pleased with you. These are the words that Jesus first heard on our behalf. And we have difficulty hearing it because we've messed up all the time and sin gets in the way so often. But Jesus, because Jesus heard those words for us, we can hear them too. That God loves us. We are his son and his daughters. And he's very pleased with us. So now let's read together what John's Gospel says about Jesus' baptism, because he has said something a bit more. Let's read them together. Then John told them, "I saw the Holy Spirit come down from heaven like a dove. The Spirit remained on Jesus. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and remain on someone. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" So what was Jesus also doing at his baptism? He was making it possible for the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and remain with us, to be with us, just like the Holy Spirit did with Jesus at his baptism, doing that on our behalf as a human being for the very first time, having the Holy Spirit come and dwell with him, be with him, remain with him. I wonder if you have invited the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and be with you, like what happened to Jesus when he was baptized. Because you can and he will. Because that's what happened when Jesus was baptized. Now, we're not baptizing anyone this morning, as much as I would love to be baptizing someone this morning, because nobody's asked me to get baptized today. But if there was, it would be fantastic to be baptizing them this morning. But I'm wondering if God might be saying to some of you who perhaps haven't got baptized yet, that now is the time to be baptized. Now, I'm not going to baptize anyone this morning. We haven't filled the... Actually, Peter, could you start filling the pool up, please? Because, I mean, it's good to have a bit of sound effect too. I hope it doesn't make anybody need to go to the bathroom. But we'll start filling this up with water, because I am hoping, in fact, I am praying, that somebody would like to get baptized, not today, but next Sunday. Because we're going to leave this up if there's anybody that would like to get baptized next Sunday. I'd love you to come and see me after the service, or see me during the week, to ask if you can be baptized next Sunday. And we'd love to have a baptismal service next Sunday. So kids, if you, I mean, just can have a look at this. There's some water going into this pool. Jesus wouldn't have been baptized in a baptismal pool like this, by the way. He was baptized in the River Jordan. But it was with water, and that's water going in there. Oh, there's a crayon. We better get that out. There shouldn't be a crayon in there, should there? We'll leave it. Yeah, we baptized the crayon. That would have been interesting. But there was lots of water in the Jordan River where Jesus was baptized. There was enough water in it for him to be dunked right under the water and come up out of it, which John the Baptist, that's why he was called that name, was the one who baptized him. So we're just going to keep that filling up while we carry on with the service. But no, we're not going to get in there today. You didn't bring your dogs, did you? So there you go. You can head back to your seats now, but that's going to slowly fill up with water. You can have another look at it at the end of the service and just see how deep it's got by the end of the service. But that's how we baptise people here, because we haven't got a permanent baptistry. We've got a blow-up, an inflatable one. That's pretty special, isn't it? Alrighty, thanks kids. You can head on back and keep going away on your activity sheets and listening out, because I need some help again from you a little bit later on. So, and like I said, if anybody would like to get baptized, feels that this is the right time for you, come and see me after, because I'd love for us to be able to keep this up for next Sunday so we can have a baptismal service for you and whoever else would like to be baptized along with you. So we're up to the third part now of the yeah, water's a lot of fun for kids, isn't it? We're now up to this crucifixion part of the Easter story. The third part of the gospel story, the Easter story, is the bit we remember, especially on Good Friday, like we did Friday just gone. And our question is, again, what was Jesus doing at the crucifixion? Let's read these words from John's gospel together about the crucifixion. Later, Jesus knew that everything had now been finished. He also knew that what Scripture said must come true. So he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there. So they soaked a sponge in it. They put the sponge on the stem of a hyssop plant. Then they lifted it up to Jesus' lips. After Jesus drank, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and died. The cross was Jesus' final act in a life of loving obedience to the Father. At the cross, Jesus surrendered to the most horrifying of human experiences, death, in order to transform it. Only through Jesus' obedience could our obedience, our disobedience, be healed. His life of obedience recreated us step by step. In Jesus, we have our first glimpse, our very first glimpse of a true human as God had always wanted us to be. And we see that in Jesus for the very first time, the very first true human as God had intended. So what was Jesus doing at the crucifixion? Well, here's the answer. As God, Jesus was breaking the power of sin and death. And as human, because remember, Jesus was fully God and fully human. As human, Jesus is accepting God's judgment upon sin. And he's doing that on our behalf. Now here's where I need a bit more help again, from perhaps from some of the older kids this morning. Because I've got over here four nails representing the four nails that were hammered into Jesus' hands and his feet when they crucified him up on the cross. We're not going to hammer them into that because that would be a bit too difficult. In fact, there's already nails in there, isn't there? But for a bit of sound effect, who would like to come and hammer these nails? And maybe not all the way in, but at least part of the way. Ben, you want to come and have a go? Just have a few whacks there to... Well, we'll see. There might be a few others, but see if anybody else wants to come out. Yeah, hammer it away. Maybe about halfway in, because they wouldn't have hammered it all the way into Jesus, because Yeah, there we go. Oh, here we go. We've got Freddie wants to come and help too. Thanks, Brent. That's awesome. Yep. Got it nice and straight. Yeah. Try and hammer it straight. There. A few more hits. And then you want to hand it over because there's one more to... Perhaps we'll straighten that one up a bit. Here we go. Do you want to have a go? Bit hard, isn't it? Getting it nice and straight. Yeah. Very good. That's a good long way in. Do you want that Astrid to have a turn too? Whew. Very nice and strong. Alrighty, that's probably good. Last one. Oh yeah, good hammering. Very good. In fact, we've nearly split the wood. You guys are hammering it so good. That'll do. Well done. Thank you. I suppose you guys wanted chocolates for doing that, did you? I think there might just be enough. Yep. Anyone else want one? Let's throw one over to Ben over there. Anyone else? Just what? Are you got one each? Anyone else who helped? If you can quickly. Well, you already got one. You already got one, haven't you? Alrighty. If you missed out, come and see me later. Alright. So this was the crucifixion part, this terrible part of the Easter story, the bit we remembered on Easter Friday. As God, Jesus, was breaking the power of sin and death, and as human, Jesus is accepting God's judgment upon sin, your sins and mine. That's what Jesus was doing at the crucifixion part of the Easter story. But what was Jesus doing at the resurrection part of the Easter story and the ascension part of the Easter story, the bit that we celebrate in particular today and in another 40 days' time is the day that we celebrate the ascension. The fourth and final part of the Easter story is Jesus' resurrection from the dead and his ascension to heaven. And I'm sure by now you can guess that the question we're asking all the way along the line here is, what was Jesus doing at the resurrection and the ascension? We've already heard the resurrection part of the Easter story read out by Erica earlier this in the service. But what happened next was that after the disciples had discovered that the tomb where Jesus' body had been buried was now empty, they returned to where they were staying, except for Mary, who remained at the tomb crying. And there she met Jesus, who had risen from the dead. So let's read these words together that tell us about this next bit. Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me. I have not yet ascended to the Father. Instead, go to those who believe in me. Tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So what was Jesus doing in the resurrection part of the Easter story? Well, the resurrection is God's greatest act of creativity. I mean, he's already done amazing things in creating the earth and creating all of the human beings and all of the life that inhabits the earth and everything in the universe. But the resurrection, this bringing back to life someone who had died, is, some would say, the greatest act of creativity that God has ever done. The resurrection, in Jesus' resurrected body, the new creation has begun that will last into God's everlasting future. The resurrection is also God's promise that our lives will become even more real and solid than they are right now. I mean, they're pretty solid and real now, aren't they? But in the resurrection that goes on into everlasting life, it's even more real and more solid. And that all parts of our ordinary lives, not just the spiritual part of us, have been rescued, redeemed, and transformed in the resurrection. All of it. And what about the ascension? When Jesus returned to heaven, what was Jesus doing in the ascension part of the Easter story? Well, the Bible says in some strange way that when Jesus returned to the Father, he brought us with him. Now seated at his Father's right hand, Jesus' earthly work is finished, but his heavenly work is not yet over because now he is interceding for us. He is praying for us from heaven. A very special human, Jesus Christ with his resurrection body, now lives in the presence of the Father in heaven, and from there he will one day unite heaven and earth. That's what the resurrection and the ascension means. So what was Jesus doing in the resurrection and ascension part of the story? Well, Jesus is recreating my body and your body as part of God's forever family in this world now and in the resurrection future, something that goes beyond into eternity. Now, our fourth activity station, where I need, again, a little bit of help from maybe a couple of the kids, is this seat, this kind of a throne, this important-looking seat that's up on the stage. It's up there to represent, it could represent Jesus' throne, except I think Jesus' throne up in heaven would be far more spectacular than that, wouldn't it? That's about as good as we could get as far as trying to make something look a bit like a throne that would be in heaven. But the Bible also tells us that it's not only Jesus who is seated on a throne beside the Father, but there is a seat for everyone who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, a seat that's already there in heaven for us. In fact, it says we are already seated in heaven with the Father, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? Because here we are, we know we're seated here in church, but somehow, and I don't quite know how this works, we are already seated with Jesus in heaven, which is what it says. So let's read together this verse. God raised us up with Christ. He has seated us with him in his heavenly kingdom. That's because we belong to Christ Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2, verse 6. So this seat that's up here on the stage, it actually represents our seat in heaven. And there'll be lots of them, seats for all of us who put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, where we are already seated with Jesus even before we get there. As incredible and amazing as that is. And so here's where I need some help from you kids. Who would like to come and have a little sit in the seat? Come and have a try out of this seat. And you can imagine that that's your seat in heaven. That's already there. So climb on up, yep, and have a little sit in it. Awesome. Is it nice and comfy? Yeah, pretty good. Nice seat, eh? Someone else want to come and have another seat? Someone else, you want to come and have a sit in here? You want to have a little turn? Come on. I do have a few chocolates to help you, so here we go. I'm down to my last three, so maybe three more could come on up and have a little seat. Can you sit right up? It's a big seat, isn't it? It's a bit high. Can you sit right in it? Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Very good. Yeah. Do you want to let someone else have a turn? Yeah, have one of those. Come on, quick. Yep. Jump on up. Very good. Yeah, just right. There you go. I've got one last one. Do you want to quickly come up? Yep, last one. Whoa, I might be able to do it. And one more for you too, Ella. Very good. Wow, don't you look pretty up there? Come on, Ella. Oh, sorry, here's your chocolate. Very good. Awesome. I love that love heart too. That adds to it. Yeah, awesome. I'm out of chocolates, guys. So, well, do you want to sit here anyway? I have got one last one. Julian's going to go and have to fill up our supply. We've used them all up now. Well done. That's awesome. Alrighty. So, I wonder which part about what Jesus did in the Easter story is God speaking to you through today. Is it the growing up part of the Easter story? Is God, is there something new that Jesus is teaching you about obeying God, about growing up some more through learning to obey God more? Or is it the baptism part of the Easter story? Is Jesus saying to you that now is the time, maybe next Sunday is the time, now is the right time for you to come and be baptized like Jesus was, to show that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus and want to do that in the same way that Jesus showed that by being baptized? Remember, come and see me after if you'd like to be baptized, because you feel that now is the right time, or next Sunday is the right time for you to be baptized. Or is it the crucifixion part of the Easter story? Is there a sin in your life that you need to give over to Jesus and be released from? Because he died for all of our sins. There's no sin too terrible that Jesus has not paid for and will not forgive. And maybe it's that part of the story that Jesus is speaking to you about this morning, and you need to give that over to Jesus and experience the release and the forgiveness of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Or is it the resurrection and ascension part of the Easter story through which Jesus is speaking to you? Do you need the assurance of the resurrection and ascension that you are already seated in heaven beside Jesus, and nothing can take that away if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Even though you aren't there yet, you are already seated there because the Bible tells us so. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, speak to us again through your Easter story so that we may grow closer to you. We pray. Amen. Now, when you came in,